Well, glory, glory, glory. Welcome to Christian Growth Center. I am Pastor Todd Hallinan, and we are so glad you joined us this morning. We believe this is a place of refuge, a place where you can gain strength in the Lord, a place where He will speak to you. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you today. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joined us last week. We had over 1,100 people reached with our broadcast last week. Over 400 followers. I'm believing that we're going to have at least 1,000 followers of our Facebook page, Christian Growth Center on Facebook. Follow us, like us, share this video with all your friends, family. I believe it'll touch them this morning. Amen? Well, Father, we just thank you for this day. We come before you right now to hear a word from the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've given us ears to hear what you are saying to us today, to the church, and to all those that may not have relationship with Jesus. He's speaking to you today that may be watching this. Get some ears on and listen. Listen. Give me your full attention for just 30 minutes. Full attention. I believe God's going to show you something today. Amen. We like to call this the Exploding Word and Worship Center in New River Valley. Our vision is to sow, grow, and go. We like to sow faith into your life so that you can grow in your understanding of righteousness, so that you can go into the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, let's get started today. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans is where we're going to start in chapter 1, in verse 16. Let's look at 16. And I'm going to share this one out of the King James Bible, so if you have a different version, it's okay. If you're online, maybe you can access an online Bible that allows you to change your versions. Amen. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Listen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed to believe that I can be healed. I am not ashamed to believe that I am delivered from diseases. I am not ashamed to believe that I don't have to suffer condemnation. I am not ashamed to believe any of these things. I am not ashamed to believe that disease is far from me, because it's what the Word of God says. And I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of plagues. I'm not ashamed of circumstances. I'm not ashamed of trials that I may go through, because I know whom I serve. Well, what are you saying, Todd? What are you saying? You're giving people false hope. No, no. I'm giving you my hope. That's my hope. And my hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus, that He came to earth as a man, suffered, and died so that I could live an abundant life. But what I'm telling you is you can have that abundant life as well. How about you? What do you believe? What are you believing for? What are you believing in? You know, the world wants to tell you all, look at all the ads and the programs and the shows, and they want you to believe a lot of things, but what do you believe? Because I believe this hope, and I have this hope in me, I can stand in the face of any trial, and not be ashamed of the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus. He died to set you free. To set you free. Free from fear. Free from fear. I can stand in the face of what this world is going through right now and not be anxious at all. No anxiety. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at something. I shared with you last week, I believe I did, Matthew chapter 6. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. And here's a companion scripture to that. And I'll share this one, let's see, out of King James. Let me just start in verse 4. It says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." I thank God for all of you. Not just the members of this church, but all of those that are watching online right now. I thank God for you that you have tuned in to hear a word from God and that He's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you directly. He's speaking to you. But I thank God and make requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it in you until the day that He returns. He is coming back, church. I have to tell on myself, that's not the scripture I want to share. I wanted to share the one where it said, "Be anxious for nothing." You don't have to be anxious for anything. It's in the Word, and it says it. I have put the Word of God in me. You have put the Word of God in you. Now let's stand. Stand on that Word. Amen. Continue confessing Psalm 91. I'm telling you, the people that I have talked to in this present situation, and that Psalm has come up time and time again. Psalm 91. If you've never read it, I'm telling you, find a Bible. Get online. If you don't have a Bible, get online. Go to Psalm 91 and read that psalm. And don't just read it one time. No. Dive into it. If you're experiencing any fear whatsoever right now, dive into Psalm 91. Live in Psalm 91. And then check out Matthew 6, where it says you don't have to be anxious for anything. God so loves the birds and feeds them, and they have nowhere to go. But how much more does He love you? I'm telling you, church, you don't have to be anxious. Consuming the Word of God will set you free. And when you consume His Word and you believe it, listen, I'm talking to the born-again believer right now. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you had to believe that by faith. Well, you have to believe what the Word says by faith. You have to receive it by faith. You have to believe what Psalm 91 says by faith. Okay? You need to receive His encouragement today and be free from fear. Now look, I'm not talking about the reverential fear of God. No. I'm not even talking about instinctive fear. Instinctive fear can save your life. In fact, I'm reminded of a situation my brother told me about one time. He and his best friend at the time were going hiking and camping. In fact, they were going to go hike and camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains here in beautiful Virginia. And so they had set out to do that, right? And they had got their gear on and they were ready to go. They were young men, I would say in their 20s at this time. And went hiking up the trail, and I think they got to the spot where they were thinking about setting up camp. And all of a sudden, the hairs on the back of both of their necks stood up. And they looked at each other, and they hightailed it out of there. I mean, they booked it out of that place. That's instinctive fear. And that can save your life. And when they got back to the car where they had parked, and my brother got there a little bit before his friend, and his friend came and he says, "Hey, man, thanks for leaving me on the trail like that." He said, "Look," he said, "I know I couldn't outrun whatever that was, but I know all I had to do was outrun you and I'd be all right." But some friend, right? No, that's instinctive fear. Instinctive fear can save your life. But I'm talking about premeditated fear, if I can put it that way. You know, when you think on something over and over, and you think on it, and you think on it, and that fear starts to build up on inside of you, and it takes root, it creates a stronghold inside of you. That's premeditated. That's not instinctive fear that comes on you. That's not reverential fear of God, where you reverence the Creator of the universe. No, No, that's fear that you can be saved out of. Amen? Fear is no new tactic of the enemy. Listen, he wants to use it to destroy the church, to destroy your life, to destroy your family, to destroy your health. He wants to use fear to keep you out of relationship with the Lord. He wants to use fear to destroy his church. And who is the church? You and me, brother, my sister, it's you and me. We are the church here today. And we've got an assignment while we're in this earth to change people's lives, change the eternal destiny of them. But fear is no new tactic of the enemy. It was even in the garden. The Garden of Eden, yes, he used fear. When he told Eve, oh, that fruit is so beautiful. I bet it tastes so good, Eve. Don't you want some of that fruit? No, we're not to eat of that fruit. God says not to eat that fruit. He said, but you know that you can eat that fruit. You know that when you eat that fruit, you're going to be just like him, and that's why he doesn't want you. He used the fear of her missing out on something to tempt her to eat that fruit. And then fear gripped Adam, right? When God was walking in the cool of the garden, calling out to him, Adam, where are you? And it says, for fear, because I was naked. I didn't want to respond. You see, fear has been around since the beginning of time. Ecclesiastes says that there is nothing new under the sun. Let me turn over there real quick and share that with you out of the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. And I like the way the Amplified reads in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And let me start in verse 8. It says, all things are weary with toil, and all words are feeble. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's a whole other subject we could get on right there. The thing that has been, it is what will be again, and that which has been done is which will be done again. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in the vast ages of time, recorded or unrecorded, which were before us. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy's tactics, he can't create anything. All he can do is pervert what has already been created. And he is perverting faith in God as fear. That is what he is doing. His tactics are the same they've always been. Fear and temptation. But if you know the tactics of your enemy, listen to this. If you know the tactics of your enemy ahead of time, you can defend yourself against it. That is what I'm talking about when you get in this word and find out what the word says about you, who you are in Christ. You can use that to defend yourself against any attack of the enemy whatsoever. Fear being his number one, I believe. So you know that Satan is going to use this fear against you as a born-again believer in Jesus, the Son of God. Then what do you do? If you know this, listen, if you know this, what do you do? Turn to Matthew, back in the New Testament. Got you flipping back and forth. Turn to Matthew, first book of the New Testament. And let's look at chapter 24. You know, even the world understands this. Some of you are familiar with this. I've shared this before. Sun Tzu, it's a book now, but it was a philosophy, I think, back then. I believe Japanese. Oh gosh. Don't hold me to any of this, but he wrote in his Know Your Enemy, right? Know your enemy. He was talking about war tactics and stuff. But know your enemy. We're to know our enemy, the enemy of our soul, Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel, whatever you want to call him, the devil. You need to know his tactics, because there's nothing new that he can use against you. Once you know his tactics, you've got the victory. You've got the victory, amen? Matthew chapter 24, are you there? Let's look at verse 43. Matthew 24:43 out of the Amplified says this: "But understand this, had the householder known in what part of the night, whether in a night or a morning watch, that the thief was coming, he would have watched and would have allowed and would have not." Let me start over here. I'm getting too excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. "But understand this, had the householder known in what part of the night, whether in a night or morning watch, the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be undermined and broken in two." We know the thief that Matthew is talking about here is Satan himself. We know that John 10:10 tells us that the enemy of your soul, Satan, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. That abundant life, that's what I'm talking about, what we need today. Each of you needs today that abundant life in Jesus. So how do we defend against these attacks of the enemy? We put the word in. We put the word of God in ahead of time. And when you do this, you will have on his whole armor. His whole armor. Let me tell you what that is. Turn to Ephesians 6. Listen, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you for the days ahead, for the days we're in. I want you to receive courage. I want to put courage in you, encourage you today, that you can stand against all the wiles of the enemy. You have the tools necessary to be victorious in every area of your life. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 10. I'm going to read this out of the King James. I just think it flows a little better. I won't get as tongue twisted when I'm looking at the King James. What did I say? Chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Listen, fear is a wile of the devil. Fear is a tactic of the devil. He will use anything he can against you to get you out of faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in God. Faith that you are more than a conqueror. Faith that you're the head and not the tail. Faith that you're above and not beneath. He wants to get you off of that faith in God. Amen. And he'll use anything. But it says here to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness of this world. Who is the ruler of this world? The darkness of this world. It's the enemy of your soul. People, here we go. I'm going to kick over this sacred cow. This question that plagues Christianity and those that don't know how to respond to it. How could a good God let bad things happen to good people? Because God is not in control of this world. We just talked about it in the garden. When they bowed their knee to Satan, they turned over control of this world, which God had given to Adam and Eve, and gave it to Satan. He is in control of this world. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if bad things are happening to good people, it's the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy in their life. It's not God. God doesn't put these bad things on you to teach you a lesson or to make you stronger. Now listen, he can use these things when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy and puts something on you or you're going through something, pure hell. Listen, he can take that situation, turn it around, and use it for your good. But he doesn't put it on you. He hasn't put this virus on the world. No. The enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But here's what you can do. Here's your encouragement for today. Child of God. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. When you think you can't make it another minute, be encouraged that you can stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the truth of the word, I believe, truth in your heart, telling the truth in every situation. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, knowing who you are in Christ. Your righteousness is wrapped up in the person of Christ, and you need to get to know Him so that you can stand before the Father God pure, white, without spot or blemish because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Understanding your righteousness. 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking His word wherever you go. Amen. And above all this, take on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You can quench everything that, I mean, we know, listen, when you know your enemy, you know the weapons that he's going to use. You know that he's going to use fear. And when you know that, you can raise up that shield of faith against that fear and say, it will not come near me. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I'm claiming that for me personally today. That you all would pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly to announce the mystery of the gospel. But you know what? That's not just for me. That's for you too. We are all called to be ambassadors for Christ in this earth. And as such, you need to be bold. Listen, I'm not saying you got to get on a street corner and spout out scriptures and bang people over the head with your Bible. No, but just be a witness wherever you go, whether that's helping someone, smiling, sharing an encouraging word, checking in, calling on. Listen, right now we should be checking in on our neighbors, checking in on our brothers and sisters in Christ, giving them an encouraging word as we're all in the situation that we are right now. These are the things that we need to do. Taking up the whole armor of God so that no weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon can penetrate that armor. No weapon. No lie, no sickness, no disease, no bad news. And yes, like we talked about last week, not even death itself. What are you saying? You're saying we're immortal? Yeah, yeah. We are. You're going to live eternity somewhere. I know where I'm going to live eternity. That's going to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wherever He is. But if you don't believe in Him, if you don't receive Him, you're going to live for eternity as well. But it's going to be in a place called the lake of fire, where Satan and the false prophet are. I'm telling you, church, now is the time to rise up and be that beacon of hope. Now is the time. Now is the time. And for those of you that may be watching that have never made Jesus your Savior, what does that mean to make Him my Savior? It means He's saving you from the pit of hell. He's saving you from the kingdom of darkness that lives in fear continually and transferring you into the kingdom of light that lives in faith continuously. That's what He's saving you from. And it's not by your good works or your good deeds or how good of a person you are. There are a lot of good people out there. I know a lot of good people that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Their demise will be the same as everyone else. Wicked, evil, have done bad things. If you don't know Jesus, it's the same. Or maybe you're watching today and you've received Jesus as your Savior. Maybe as a child, maybe later in life, maybe recently. But you haven't made Him the Lord of your life. What does that mean, Todd? What does that mean to make Him the Lord of your life? That means seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you're a born-again believer and you are in fear right now, then you've not turned everything over and made Jesus your Lord. Because if you have, if you've made Jesus your Lord, then you're going to seek first the kingdom of God. And when you seek first the kingdom of God, then you don't have to worry about, you know, what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Meaning you don't have to worry about your job, but your job is not your provider. God is your provider. Jehovah, Jireh. So maybe you're watching this and you are born again, but you've not made Him your Lord. Man, you just, all you got to do is repent. Just turn back towards Him. You may have been going this way. Repent and turn back towards God. And He'll receive you back. Oh, and bless you. Listen, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you in the times that we're in. I want to encourage you, like we shared last week, for the times ahead. But most of all, those that are watching that don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to get to know Him. Have a personal relationship with Him. And you can do that right now wherever you are. You can invite Him into your life and just say, Jesus, I want this. I need this. There's something missing in my life. I've struggled with fear all my life and I need something. I need You right now. Right now, will You receive me? I want to make You the Savior of my life. I want You to save me out of this hell that I've been in for most of my life. And I want to make You Lord. I want to make You Lord over all that I have. I want to seek first the kingdom of God so that I can be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. This is what we're talking about. And when you do that, and when you... So that's called sowing faith into your heart, faith for Jesus. And when you do that, and when you make Him Lord, and you start to seek the kingdom of God first, then you put this word in. You will put this word in, and you will grow in your understanding of your righteousness in Christ Jesus. And as you grow in that understanding, and you get confident and bold, and you stand through the fire of life, it'll give you boldness to go. And show and share with someone else what the Lord has done for you. Amen? Well, glory to God. Father, I thank You. I thank You for this encouraging word today. I thank You that You are touching lives all over this world. That the church is rising up in this moment to be that beacon of light, that beacon of hope that You've called us to be. We are doing this. We are standing. We are standing in the midst of the trials and tribulations, the fire. And we want to be that hope that people can reach out to when they see Jesus, that light on the inside of us. And I'm telling you, when you do this, when you get this down in your heart, when you get such a revelation of it that nothing can take it away from you, then no weapon can penetrate that armor of God that you've surrounded yourself with. Amen. Church, be encouraged today. People, if you don't know Jesus, He's real. I'm telling you, He is so real. I could tell you testimony after testimony of what He's done in my life. I won't take the time to do that today. But you can reach out to me. You can go to our website. Send in an email. cgcchurch.com. If you have a prayer request, we want to pray for you, with you. We're here for you. You can go to our website and send in a prayer request. I love you. Listen, I may not even know who you are, but I love you. I love you in Jesus. You are precious in His sight. Not only do I love you, God loves you sincerely. He loves you. He sent Jesus, His Son, to die for you. Will you receive Him today? I hope you will.